are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Ghetto people, yeah. What are you gonna do? You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope you are well today. Hope everything is well with you on this hump day, Wednesday. Got to get over the hump. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you must do, can do, should do, will do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it's not, I know you'll get it done because you don't procrastinate. You handle your business. And that's why we appreciate you. But if you don't have to, don't. Continue to stay inside and be safe. Particularly if you know that, you might have a precondition, you know. Don't be foolish like many people have. There are people who have been very, very foolish. They've challenged it. I ain't gonna wear no mask. I go where I want to go. There's a crowd out there. I'm gonna go get in that crowd. Exactly. So, dear brothers, you know, protect yourself. Be wise in these troubled times. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, podcast, click on that. And then there will be a drop down, African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. I haven't put the new ones up, so when my good brother and friend, Brother Kwaku, gets back into town, we got a lot of things to work on because I'm, ironically, really, I want to do a video podcast. We've been talking about it. I got to contact my brother, Brother Damani, and get that set up. Want to do a radio podcast? No kidding. Yeah, that may be cool. You know, sit at the table on the tube and take calls and whatever. Yeah, like a talk show host, right? Okay. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. And once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then on Mondays, it's from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, hosted by Brother Wahad Ahmed, followed by Black Therapy Central, hosted by Dr. Kambong and her daughter, Sister Nataki Kambong. And then after that, every first and third Mondays is Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. His host last night was the Honorable Shekama Shekama, Dr. Ra'a Nefer Amon, the brother who wrote the book, Medu Netcher. And it was a good program, Doc. Really appreciate it. On Tuesdays, after 7, host Shani B. With Shani B. After 7, that's also a Black Reality Think Tank production. And then on Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, once again, a Black Reality Think Tank production, Sister Talk with host LaWanna Chambers. And then that's followed by at 7 p.m., that's from 4 to 6, and then at 7 p.m., from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Brother Alfonso Watkins. And then Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. They do have a program for black farmers that's going to be coming up this month. So we're going to look for that. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Check it out. Africa for the Africans, with Bomani Tayemba. I just talked to him recently, and he still has the September. I was reason why I hadn't announced it because I thought it wasn't happening, but he told me yes. They have made the arrangements going to Senegal and Gambia, September 4th through the 14th. He's going to be on the program the 19th, August 19th. You know, I got some good guests coming up. I got Baba Renoko this Friday, next week Wednesday, Baba Mukasa. Baba Mukasa was in SNCC, and I want to get his perspective on SNCC and, of course, the Honorable John Lewis and his passing and so forth. This brother has a lot of good information. Baba Mukasa, you're going to love him. And then, of course, 2 days after that, on August 14th, Baba Baruti. And then the following Wednesday, Brother Bomani Tayemba of AfricaForTheAfricans.org will be my guest, and he'll highlight some of the many things that they have going on. Particularly, I had announced a few times the Marcus Garvey Town when I had been to Africa last year and wasn't happening, and then he told me that they squashed that project. They have a new project. And we're going to be talking about that, and it's going to be exciting. Trying to help our brothers and sisters repatriate. Trying to help them repatriate. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Listen, the trip is September 4th through the 14th, going to Senegal and Gambia for only $3,500. I know it's right now, but if you have the wherewithal, it's a great time. Everything you need, he'll get you through it, even the visa, all of that, okay? And then November 20th through the 30th, South African. That's for $3,700. And then December 24th to January 5th, going to Ghana, the Repatriation and Investment Tours. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Brother Renoko, he'll be my guest this Friday. He'll talk about his trips to Uganda and Rwanda that are coming up January 21st to February 4th, 2021. And, of course, his trip to Kemet August 1st to August 14th, 2021. And all the other things that he's doing, the Zoom conference that he has. Brother, you know Baba Renoko, he's keeping it, He keeps it moving. Habesha Incorporated. HabeshaIncorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. They have many programs they're doing here in the Atlanta area and in Ghana. One of the main programs in Ghana is the Kashi Project, named after the brother, the botanist, Dr. Kwaku. And believe me, that project still needs funding. It still needs help. But believe me, they're doing the work. They show it on their website, the work that they're doing, the programs that they have here at home, the sustainable golden growers and so forth. So I'm telling you, you know, everything that I announce on this program, I'm asking brothers and sisters to take a look at. And if you can, help him, support it, donate. Okay. The Medu Natural Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. I went by there recently, saw Mama Nia. She's doing well. She's open. You know, she had a few customers in there buying books. That's great. And so give her a call. She's in the the Greenbrier Mall. And the number is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. She has the finest books, selection of books. If you call her and you're looking for a book, she doesn't have it, believe me, she will get it. Postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, all kind of figurines. So check out the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother, Brother Gazende Ajamu, the number to call to check that out. He has books. He also has a coffee bar with pastries and so forth. Man, it's beautiful. And give Brother Gazende Ajamu a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. He also has the red, black, and green shoes, the NASGAS shoes. Okay. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta. They also have products at Wadada's. They have We Buy Black. Some of the We Buy Black products that you look at online, you might be able to purchase at Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located at 878 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. But give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. They also have the Athletics, that sportswear, brothers, well made, and with the African themes like the Zulus, the Dogons, the Olmecs, the Dogon Starseed, the Herus, and so forth. So check them out at Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. Us Lifting Us, tomorrow night. Us Lifting Us, their Thursday night call. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. If you want to call in just to listen or to call in for comments or questions, you can dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And it is 9 o'clock on Thursday from 9 to 10. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Okay. Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, who's doing an outstanding job in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, in the rural area, helping our young people. You should go online to Sonjay-Haiti and check out what she's doing. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sonjay-Haiti. And believe me, it's beautiful. The children are beautiful. They're in uniforms at school. The health component that they have, education health, and sustainable agriculture. I mean, it's a beautiful situation. And so she deserves to be supported. She deserves to be supported. All right. Sonjay-Haiti. Brothers and sisters, I know I'm always going to talk about Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's right. Make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. You can also use Cash App and PayPal. I'm going to say that again because his online school tutorial program is coming up. It's a full-time African-centered homeschool program, beginning its 20th year of operation. 20th year. Open to students and from the 4th grade to the 12th grade. They don't have the little kids. They got the 4th grade to the 12th grade. And it's the academic year that's coming up, the 2021 academic year. So contact Sister Yah Baba Baruti at 404-753-7237. That's 404 753-7237. This Saturday, Baba Baruti has African-Centered Nation Building. And the discussion begins at 12 p.m. to 2. It's an online program. Send your donation via PayPal account. That would be YAABARUTI at Yahoo. Or Cash App, the $ YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, BARUTI. So either way, Cash App or PayPal. But make sure that you include Brother Circle, your name, the email address, so they can send you the link. So you can have the link. And remember, that is at from 12 to 2 on Saturday. And then for sisters on Saturday, Mama Ya will have Resisting the Horrification of African Women. Resisting the Horrification of African Women. Serious. And that's going to be from 4 to 6. So there's a 2-hour difference between both workshops, from 4 to 6 on Saturday. Same procedure. Send your donation via our PayPal, which is yabaruti at yahoo.com, or Cash App, $ Ya M Baruti, B-R-U-T-I. Include Sister Circle. Include that information. Sister Circle, your name, and, of course, the email address that you want the link sent to. So I'm going to make sure that we do that to help the brother and sister out at the Akabin Institute. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. August 4th. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. Sadly, we must accept dishonesty from some of the individuals we will come in contact with as we attempt to build economic relationships with family. The reason these Negroes do this are many. But one is that they see us as dumb suckers, so blindly in love with some mythical, fabulous bygone Africa that we will blindly sacrifice everything in order for African people to see the truth. Another is that we are taken as overzealous fools who will give others a greater share of our profits so we can keep another African in business. Because it is evident that you love African people, these falsified African con artists see you as an easy target for economic exploitation. Naive charity is seen as a basic characteristic of real grassroots revolutionaries by people who do not understand our mission and or who have internalized the Europeans' predatory personality. They're being handicrafted by products of this anti-African culture makes it necessary for us to remain ever mindful of the danger they pose to our solvency, sanity, and love of African people. These individuals are not African at heart. If this precaution about them is taken to heart without allowing it to harden our hearts against those who truly want to be African, we will be able to avoid the fool me twice, shame on me phenomenon more often than not. Ashe. Affirm. Falsified Africans cannot shake me from building an African trust. I love it. Affirm, falsified Africans cannot shake me from building African trust. And boy, do we need to love and trust one another. August 5th. We know no limitations to our enlightened vision. We respect no hindrance, and we fear no opposition. Brother Kedi Obi Awadu. Brother Kedi Awadu, better known as the Conscious Rasta. The Conscious Rasta on Black Liberation Radio. He has a program on Black Liberation Radio, the Conscious Rasta, Brother Kedi Awadu. Freedom can only manifest itself in those Africans who, number one, believe ingenuity, humility, resiliency, integrity, and truth
of our ancestors who believe in the volubility, incomparability of African people and the African person. Two, see the corruptive, insane, anti-African nature of the Western society and cultural wasteland, and know that it is a physical, spiritual, and psychological death trap for Africans who want to be human. And number three, understand that there should not be a contradiction between what you believe, say, and do, and that a sacred connection defines the level of our humanity. Those who, number one, want to create some new hybrid, colorless, acceptable, i.e. open to European culture-minded person through an impossible blending of African with the European, or a more realistic melting of the African into the below of the European. Number two, want to be African in any in usually hyphenated name only, superficially through wearing their natural hair and draping themselves in traditional attire, maybe even reading some of our classics, but whose heart and mind still lie in Europe, people who would properly be called safe or feel-good Africans. Or three, want to use the knowledge of African traditions, our historical glories and integrated focus, imitative black first, to buttress their fragile egos, so they can march into whiteness without being too psychologically damaged. Can that help us? They cannot help us. They only hinder us. Affirm, freedom manifests itself in everything I am and I do. Affirm, freedom, sovereignty, independence, liberation manifests itself in everything I am and I do. Ashe, the Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Enye Sesim. This is what Kwame Nkrumah said, you know, and it's very important. You know, I know y'all know I love me some Kwame Nkrumah. I think that Kwame Nkrumah is one of the most important people in our lives in terms of what he was about. In fact, he is the ultimate to me, pan out, because he said from day one, as soon as they got independence from Britain in 1957, it ain't about Ghana. It is about Africa. It's about the unification of Africa. I believe that speech alone is significant. He said this some years later, 4 years later, the speech of freedom. I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not as just another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a greater power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, or superstition, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and dedicated to the good of all mankind as a model, as an example. Unfortunately, he said this some years later. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we have suffered heretofore. I mean, when I read that, brothers and sisters, my mind continues to go to the continent and I see the destruction on the continent. Sister Susumi, I know, I hope you're listening. She's in Botswana. She sent me a nice piece on Zimbabwe and what the problem is in growing food on the continent, not just in Zimbabwe. Many people thought it was, well, because the Caucasians, we made the Caucasians give up those farms and give back our land. and the farmers were in a bit. No, it's because of the dictatorial methods that the Western society use, particularly the agricultural methods, the seeds that they have to buy, the engine, the GMOs and all of that kind of stuff. There's one thing that becomes clear to me every day. If we do not, and I ain't talking about all of us because ain't all of us going, but those of us who are committed and have our right minds and are dedicated and have a sincere, dedicated love for us as African people and for the land of Africa, make the move. Just don't talk about it. Let's be about it. Make that move and go there and prepare Africa to be a model for the 21st century in terms of management, in terms of land management, resource management, human capital that we have. Brothers and sisters, it becomes abundantly clear to me that either we do this or we perish. As I say, the model of this program, and you know, you listen to this program and you know that we talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Our motto is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. Point blank. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect the European has had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from their thoughts so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europe. This is demanded by an African-centered view because why? We are Africans. And because the future towards which European leads us, the future towards which a European, that Europe leads us, is genocide. Dr. Marimba Ani. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's trowel and square, Africa's books of wisdom. Now go. And now build for eternity. Brother Lester Velt Middleton. Brother Lester Velt Middleton, if you go to YouTube and put in Lester Velt Middleton, he has all of the great scholars, our great scholars, John G. Jackson, Asa Hilliard, Chancellor Williams. He interviewed them all. He's an ancestor as well. You know? Yeah. I tell you. We're going to talk today about words. Words have meaning. People always say that. Words have meaning. Oh, really? Yeah, words have meaning, all right. What does it mean for these words to have meaning? Yeah. Words have meaning. You know, one of the main, I mean, there's a number of things that I hear. And it just makes me cringe. And, you know, number one, of course, calling ourselves black, because I don't believe we are, you know, my contention is we are not black. They're not white. But they developed an idea of collective whiteness and imposed it on the world. And because of what they did with that, with white, people around the world want to be white. The CBS News did a segment on bleaching creams a few days ago because a lady from India, I believe she might have been born here, but her, she's from India. Her folks from India, they immigrated here. You know, and I'm quite sure they, a lot of Indians who immigrated here, they're skilled. they come here, particularly in various, particularly in medical fields and so forth. And so she won Miss America. She won Miss America. And a headline appeared: Is Miss America too dark to be Miss India? And of course, the answer to that was yes, because you could clearly see that she was melanated. And of course, you know, India was one of the first countries in the world to deal with the issue of color confrontation or colorism. I don't know if I said this the other day, but when Waruf Deen Muhammad took over for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in Nation of Islam, he had a book. It's a training manual, I believe it was. I had opportunity to have in my possession at one time. I'm not sure. I got a whole bunch of bins downstairs in my basement with all the books from the time I moved. I need to get my butt down there and kind of categorize them and put them up. But anyway, obviously, this title made an impact on me because I will never forget it. The title of that particular segment was called The Roots of Aryan White Racism and Diabolical Consciousness. Basically, what it was saying, the people coming out of the Caucasus Mountain Range, you know that range is Syria and so forth, not even that, Iraq and Afghanistan, all that kind of stuff, coming up in that area right there. Because that Caucasus Mountain Range is used, and this is how arrogant Europeans are, Caucasians are. That Caucasus Range, that Caucasus Mountain Range is used, has a dividing line between the eastern part of Asia and the western part of Asia. And the western part of Asia is called Europe. And they are so arrogant, they call that a continent. They're not seven continents. There's only six continents. Europe is not a continent by anybody's definition. That's why I'm saying words have meaning. That's not a continent. When you look up the word continent, and if you want to do that, you go ahead and do that. And you will see that Europe does not fit that description. But because of their dominance in the world, they say it. I said it, and therefore it is. And that's how it is. They say it, and, you know, and that's just how it is. The European continent. And so they moved into India, these Aryans. And they could not defeat the military, but they found, they wanted to see what was their beliefs. And they had a theology that spoke to themselves from outside themselves. And so they implemented Hinduism with a caste system. In fact, yesterday on the news, a sister has a book called Caste. It is Oprah Winfrey's, her book club. And she was really emotional about the book Caste. In fact, she bought hundreds of the book. Well, she can do that. That ain't no big deal for her. But she's giving governors, mayors, people who have influence, giving them this book, because this book, Caste, will help them understand the cultural dynamics. I ain't gonna say race, because race is not real. Race is not a real concept. We should never even use it. In fact, when you see race, you should put the word culture. Once again, this program today is words have meaning. There's no such damn thing as race. If you want to use race, it's their human race. The human race of which Africans are fathers and mothers of. The founders of the human race are African. Everybody came from that source. You know, a lot of times we don't want to deal with science, particularly as you can see during this pandemic. There's even people in their leadership, of course, who don't want to go along and agree with science. I'm skeptical too, believe me. I just got off the phone earlier this morning with a friend talking about, you know, the vaccine. No, I'm not getting the vaccine. No, I don't give a damn. If I don't get the vaccine and this society or this government says if you don't get the vaccine, then you will not be privy to whatever it is you can be privy to if you got it, i.e. you might not be able to renew your license, passport. I don't know. But whatever it is, I'm not getting it. I'm suggesting I can make my family not do it. But I understand, you know, the issues. But when we look at the science, when we look at the history, it doesn't look favorable, does it? No, it doesn't. And especially since they're rushing this. They have to rush this because of the pandemic. And because they're rushing it, there's always, more and more people can die from the vaccine itself. I wouldn't say more would die from the vaccine than the virus, but that's possible. Because you're going to be giving a vaccine to millions of people, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of people. Even more than that, because globally. This is a pandemic is global. And so therefore, these people will be probably inoculated and maybe it works. Let's hope for the best, right? Exactly. But I ain't taking it. Best believe that. You know, so there's words within a society. In fact, some of you might remember, maybe some of you don't remember, that Ozzie Davis did a piece called "The English Language is My Enemy." And what's important is that words give you a vision. You know, when I used to work with kids back in Milwaukee on my off days as a firefighter, you work one 24-hour day, you're off 48 hours. Work one day off too. In fact, at my retirement, and his brother said, "This guy's a fraud. He don't work. He only works a third of the year. He's off two-thirds of the year. He don't work." And probably he's at a slow engine company. But I believe me, in my 31 years on the Milwaukee Fire Department, believe me, I did my work. And I've seen a lot. In fact, you see everything. The English language is my enemy. A superficial examination of Rogate's... Let me do this because I can't... All right, I can see this better now. A superficial examination of Rogate's Thesaurus of English Language reveals the following facts. The word whiteness has 134 synonyms, 44 of which are favorable and pleasing to contemplate. Purity, cleanliness, immaculateness, bright, shiny, ivory, fair, blonde, stainless, clean, clear, chastity, unblemished, unsullied, innocent, honorable, upright, just, straightforward, fair, genuine, trustworthy, honest. A white man's colloquialisms. Only 10 synonyms for whiteness appear to me have negative implications. And these only in a mild sense, glossed over, whitewashed, gray, wan, pale, etc. The word blackness has 120 synonyms, 60 of which are distinctly unfavorable, and none of them even mildly positive. Among the offerings, 60 were such words as blot, blotched, smut, smudge, sully, soot, beclouded, obscure, dingy, murky, low tone, threatening, forming, foreboding, forbidden, sinister, baneful, dismal, thundery, evil, wicked, malignant, deadly, unclean, dirty, unwashed, foul. Yeah, you get it. Not to mention 20 synonyms directly related to race or culture, such as Negro, Negress, Nigger, Darkie, Blackamoor, etc. When you consider the fact that thinking itself is a sub-vocal speech, in other words, one must use words in order to think at all, you will appreciate the enormous heritage of cultural prejudgment that lies in wait for any child born into the English language. Any teacher, good or bad, white or black, Jew or Gentile, who uses the English language as a medium of communications is forced willy-nilly to teach the Negro child 60 ways to disparage themselves, and the white child 60 ways to aid and abet him in the crime. Who speaks to me in my mother tongue damns me indeed, the English language in which I cannot conceive myself, my enemy with which to survive at all, I must continually be at war. Ozzie Davis. Yep, we are at war. We are at war for the minds of our people. What puts things in our minds? Words, images. We are at war. We have been warred upon. And yet we continue to beg and plead, march, sit in, all of this, demonstrate, pray, vote in our hopes for inclusion. I know it's not just to be included like it was, you know, decades ago, but now we want inclusion in the system with some authority, so to speak. We want some inclusion in the system that basically says that we are just as equal in this system as anybody else. Well, let me say this. If you don't control nothing in the system, and we don't, then really you just jaw-jabbing, because it's not going to change. Now, I know, brother and sisters, we see some of the things that are going on at this time, such as changing words, changing iconography from Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben. You know, in fact, they even, I was listening to a program that said, yeah, they're not even going to use the word master when they describe a home, and this is the master bedroom. You know, they're not even going to do that no more, really. You know, all of these are symbolism without substance, because the real substance is the economics of this society will still be dominant.
He's taking away from the white man.
Good morning, Jay.
Hey, OC, why must they keep trying to take everything away from the white man? I mean, do they know that all they doing is aggravating the white man, upsetting the white man, and making him do the necessary things to put Fredo back in office? I mean, like today, clear example. A reporter asks Sleepy Joe Biden about the cognizant test. And Joe replies to the guy, is he taking cocaine? Did he take a drug test today? Is he a junkie? I mean, it's just, you know, the stupidity of people who don't understand white people and how white supremacy works. And that sometimes you just have to pick and choose what you gonna go after. And some of the things that, you know, this crazy Negro is going after is comical. I mean, how has your life so dramatically changed because a statue is taken down, pancake boxes changed? I mean, really, seriously. Are we that superficial and weak as a people that we don't understand the symbolic symbols of these acts?
Once again, I'm saying it's symbolism without substance. You taking down all this imagery and even, like I said, different words you're trying to suppress within the society, yet the mind of the people is pretty much still the same, but more deeply, but the economics, that's the real issue. The economics, the income and equity, the inequality in the society is so deep and so pervasive. If you remember, they said it would take 230 years. That means that the Caucasian, the European, would be frozen at that economic position. And then Africans would get incremental raises and so forth. And it would take 200 and over 230 years for us to be equal with them.
But you know what's deeper? What's really coming into play today is the economic equality on the deeper level on how this cracker is not in the position that he really think he is. Because I know in New York City, the cracker catch in hell. Black people and other minorities have always caught hell in this city. But now, because of the way that the restaurant and the bar industry and other retail industries have totally been decimated and destroyed because of this virus, bad white folks are catching hell. But nobody will tell the truth about that. See, black folks are always going to catch hell. But the reality is, you know, it's expected of us to catch hell. But it's not expected of white folks to catch hell on the magnitude that they're catching hell right now. And unfortunately, you have a society to where as those that should look out for their white brethren will not look out for them because they think that the niggas may get some and the Babalooies may get some. You see how deep it is? So in the process, everybody is going to suffer. That's why I make this prediction to you right now. Within the next 5 years, I think Amazon is going to get crushed.
You think Amazon is going to...
I think Amazon is going to get crushed. And the reason why I say that is because Amazon has destroyed more white people than they helped them.
Right. Because they've taken jobs away.
Bars and pubs have been closed down.
Yeah.
And ran out of business because of Amazon. And at some point in time, they're going to wake up and they're going to see how this one white man has this much power. And they're going to turn on his ass the Tea Party.
Well, I mean, it's just like all the other multi-billionaires, you know, aside from Jeff Bezos and Zuckerberg and all those others. The bottom line is that the inequality is so deep that we as African people in this society here in the United Snakes, we only make 60 cent to a dollar that Caucasians make. And our sisters make even less than that on average. Okay. And then in terms of wealth, they have 10 times as much wealth. They have $117,000. We have $17,000.
Well, but Oshi, the thing with Amazon is this. Think about this. There has never been a company in this country that has had the power and the influence over society and the control over society that Amazon has. I was reading on Twitter yesterday where my favorite, one of my favorite sportscaster, Howard Bryant, said that Amazon is going to take over the post office.
I heard that too, but you know the bottom line is, you know, other carriers came into existence, DHL, UPS,
Laser Express. Shipping,
yeah,
UPS,
Federal Express.
Just put it into context how the United States government, think about this, is destroying the post office
right.
so that a business
right.
like Amazon could take it over. That's criminal, man. Yeah. I mean, that just goes to show the ignorance and the stupidity
of people
within this country.
One of the things, see, I hate unbridled capitalism. I hate greed, and that's what you have here. You have a society that believes that allowing individuals to make money, ever how they can make it, let the buyer beware, you know. And so there's something inherently evil with that, and we're seeing that manifest today because of people being out of work, people being destitute because of that. To me, the government, everything is about people. People look at, because of how Trump and the Republicans have used, they said that government is something outside of us as a people. No, it's not. Everything is about human interaction. Human beings done this. This ain't some bull. Human beings created the so-called deep state. Human beings created a Democratic, Republican, Independent Party. Human beings. But when human beings who are skewed and swayed and manipulated and undermined, the behavior is unpredictable. Well, one could argue it is predictable, particularly in the capitalistic society, they're going to follow that mode. But I'm saying is that it is wrong and it's anti-human. To have a society that boasts that it's the greatest society in the world, but yet it has more people who are destitute, they have deep divisions in poverty. You have people, I just saw a piece, not only did they talk about the people on the reservation, I can't remember if it was the Dakotas or wherever it was, without running water and no electricity in an outhouse. And they had a lady who was, I think it was a Wyoming, could have been, I'm not sure. But anyway, she's indigenous, and through her legislative means, she's been bringing water and trying to bring electricity and so forth to that reservation. But in Arkansas, they had a family that is the same situation. That community, there seemed to be about five or six houses. None of them had electricity, running water, you know, indoor restrooms and so forth. None of them. So I'm saying, in this day and age, you know, to me, it's so damn criminal of this society and this government that today in Flint, Michigan, when it was known for damn near now 10 damn years that they don't have clean water, Barack should have did it.
You had a black man who was the president.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. Barack's ass should have did it.
The fuck acted like he drunk some of the water. I mean, no.
Yeah, you remember that? Remember that, to drink that water? Yeah. To show that it's safe. And it's still today, people know, this stuff water ain't safe. Listen, I'm going to take a break, Jay. When I come back from the break.
That's how evil he is.
Huh?
That's how much of a low-down, evil, dirty dog that he is, that here it is. He was in a position to do something about it, and they do sugar, honey, ice tea about it.
They could have easily, no, man, I'm not down with Barack Obama. You know how I feel. Bump him. But they could have employed the Army Corps of Engineers, a bunch of other kind of contractors, and they could have went in there and did that and put that new piping in. And so they could have done that and very easily. Yeah. Yes, it's all about money, but damn it. Hey, it's all about money, but this country prints money. They don't, right now, they're still talking about sending out trillions of dollars. They have a huge debt and deficit. So it ain't about money. Hell, you print money. Just damn it, do it. Mobilize the people there and damn it, do it. Open up those sewers. Open up those streets. Put that new stuff in. Let the people have the one. The most important thing for human life is water. You can live, you know, only a few days. Excuse me. You can live a long time without food, but you can only live a few days without water. And there's some evil individuals talking about water should be a commodity that is traded and spent. Hell no. Water.
It's said that way. It's said that way. Man. Don't think it's false.
Man, water should be made by humans to be plentiful for humans because it is a necessity. It's not something. It's a necessity. I remember, Jay, the first bottle of water, Perrier. You remember that? Perrier. Yep. I don't even know if they sell Perrier water. But I was
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay. But I'm just saying, you know, bottled water. And now all over this country, all over the world, bottled water. It's a damn shame. Listen, I'm going to take a break. When I come back from the break, you stay with us, Jay. I'm going to go over some words that I feel definitely need to be, when you say words, you should conjure up. Yeah, right on, Ralph.
Devil, white trash,
yeah.
Yoruba, stinking filthy devil.
Okay. Okay. I know you got words, Jay. I know you got words. All right, dear brother. You're listening. Okay. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Brothers and sisters, you stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Got me feeling like I'm in the tails of the crib. Whoa, oh, can't move any faster. Load up the chamber in case I got a blaster. Translate the description. Now I'm walking like Egyptians. Got the nicest style when I slice it. Take it back to Oros, Osiris, and Isis. Hey, can't you see the light?
Say what's up?
Knowledge of oneself is priceless. So, yo, bro, tell me how you living. Unlock the secrets behind racism. Schisms, hey, and all the mechanisms.
Yo, can't break what's in my system. Never.
Officials say, ready to strap with the pistol. You create another issue, or if they're gonna drop a missile, who straps your feet? Don't drag. If the earth is your country, the wave, come on now. Can't stop us marching in the streets.
from hoodie your boys up to the me. Baby, we ain't going nowhere. Too clever, so you better get your act together if you're gonna weather the storm. But on by Queen Mother Nature, sick and tired of the way you fornicate. Come on, civilized enterprise in despair. Video clips make us shake our derrieres while the big screen screams. Throw your guns in the air. Hollywood, Hollywood, we all want the glamour. Glitz, diamonds, and gold. Tricks, abracadabra. What's the matter, Copa Ladder? That really makes me wonder how we manage to move around in the world of anacondas. Gotta think like a chess player, Mr. Taxpayer. Seek the truth, we abuse you, suffer soothsayer. School fools on YouTube and chat room players. Cartoons and buffoons of all the sort of flavors. You used to diss my mama when you called the ancient mama. Mustard seeds got a need, so you call me mountain climber. Quest feed the need of the Da Vinci co-finder. Proceed to lead as the original designer. Ayo, ayo, ayo. Bow down the clown, stuff your knees up. I don't hoe around to no G's up. Peace to all my peeps who could keep up. Cause I'm leaping over them boundaries. Indigestion in the belly of the beast. New direction, heading straight for the east. You know, life is painstaking when they hide what's ancient. So who's that wrecking that microphone? Shot blessed, giving headrest to backbones. F-popper, if he was a rolling stone. Cause sisters know how to be up. Damn right we up. So what's your sexuality? Intellectual abnormality. It's your religion causing them casualties. So bow down to the flow up. To your God to woe up. Major slave ship, slayed your woman like a hoa. Wrote it in your books and we bought it in the stores. Hickory, dickory, slippery dots. Go to bed with the feds and they have crooked cops. Put the lead to the head if their agenda stops. So keep a bulletproof goose and a crew of hard rocks. Ayo,
ayo. Ayo, 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 ayo,
ayo,
ayo, ayo, ayo.
He's wheezing and she's coughing. We all stuck in the land of the lost, man. They trying to stick us into them coffins. So proceed to lead with caution. Misdemeanor's getting meaner and his grass ain't greener. First or second class plane crash got Jesus. Y'all need gas from who? These to beamers. Watch them as they laugh and take us to the cleaners. Read between the lines if you want some definition. They fired the grid so we led through intuition. Better watch your kids when on the net they fishing. How you rocking rims and you ain't got a pot to piss in? Lord
Lord have mercy on these folks. They got a mind so blind and we all got jokes. We just want piece of bacon from that stroke. Divorce rate sky high cause we ain't evenly yoked. Yo, signs number 9, numerology completion. Beeping through your mind like blinds at off Venetian. Seek hard, you find what I find I'm keeping. Don't be alarmed, just keep your arms reaching. Ayo, 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 ayo.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, this program, African Perspectives. On Mondays from 6 p.m. to 8, Acres of Diamonds. And then followed by Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kamban and Sister Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations, every first and third Mondays with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, Black Reality Think Tank After 7 program with the host Shani B. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, Black Reality Think Tank Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then at 7 p.m. Eastern from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with your host, Brother Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Words. Words have meaning. You know, one word that always bothered me, because, you know, words in the society have multiple meanings. You know, one of them, of course, is discipline. The people in this society use the word discipline because punishment has such a negative connotation that they use the word discipline as opposed to punishment. Discipline is self-imposed order. When you are trained to instill discipline in you so that whatever is instructed, you will do as the instructions say. You may not deviate. You might have to deviate. I don't know. But the bottom line is you have that discipline. In fact, what do they call the studies in universities and colleges? What do they call the studies? They call them disciplines. They call them disciplines because you must be serious when you go into the studies to make sure you prioritize stuff. You just can't go to college and play bid whist and go to parties all the time. You have to, you should be there to do whatever it is that you need to do and must do to advance your future, whatever that is, you know, what kind of degree it's going to be, whether you're in science, economics, history, you know, philosophy, physiology, whatever it is, you must have discipline. You must have discipline. But the society uses that word, you hear it all the time. You know, I watch sports and they talk about somebody who's done something. Yeah, they're going to discipline him. No, they're not. They're going to punish him. They're going to fine him. They're going to suspend him. They're not going to, that's punishment. But because of the negative connotations of punishment, the society wants to use the word discipline, which, of course, is wrong. Discipline is self-imposed order. And when you don't impose order on yourself, the society has to impose order on you. And that's where punishment comes in. Some of the cats do in this experiment in restarting sports. Some of them did not have the discipline, or some put themselves in an environment. Some of them put themselves into an environment where a possibility, such as particularly baseball, because baseball is not in that, quote, bubble. Baseball is not
self-contained like it is in the NBA in South Florida, in Orlando, Florida. That's not South Florida. In Orlando, Florida, on the Disney property. They are there. They're tested all the time. They are there. So if something does happen and one has leaked, has snuck out and done something and came back and tested positive, he will be quarantined and he will probably be punished. So understand something. When you hear that word, and particularly when they use it in reference to trying to punish somebody, that's what it is. But really, the best thing that we could have is discipline. The best thing that you can do for your children is to instill discipline and help them understand that there's a big difference between discipline and punishment. When you don't adhere to what I'm saying to you, the rules that I'm giving you, the directions I'm giving you, what is for you to do that I'm asking or telling you to do, and then you don't do it, then you will be punished. Then you will be punished. Instilling discipline. And that's what we need. We need discipline as African people. We need discipline because we shown the hell getting punished. We have been punished. We have been punished for being who we are. And we're further punished because we lack that discipline that is so necessary. Slave. When I used to, like I said, worked in schools, there was one thing I used to do with imagery, images. I would tell the young people, I'd say, close your eyes. I'm going to say some words. And I want you to be honest. Whose face did you put on those words? Now close your eyes. Welfare. Drug addict. Drug dealer. Gangbanger. Slave. No fit father. No fit mother. I could go on. I could go on, but I would say, now open your eyes and be honest. Whose face did you put on those really derogatory words? Ours. Because this society, which has control, this is their language. It is a bastardized language. It is an interpolated language. What that means is that it is amalgamated. It's all kinds of other. There's some German. There's all kinds of words in there. The English language, particularly American English language, is a bastardized language. And so understanding that, we all have to know that there are multiple meanings. There are some words that have, I mean, like intelligence. Now, you know, I always thought intelligence means to be enlightened, to be smart and so forth. But then, of course, there's a Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, and gathering of intelligence, spying, espionage, conniving, undermining. So, you know, to me, this country will always, and by practice cause confusion. It has to. It's what they do. Intelligence. Maybe you'll think about that next time you see that word, intelligence. Yes, it is used to say that an individual is very intelligent, smart, you know, very scholarly, so forth. But then here's somebody who has been spying on other countries. You know, gathering information, intelligence. But the word slave is even deeper because the word slave, really, that word is a more recent word. That is not something from antiquity. They didn't call people who were in servitude slaves. And nor did what they did with that word made it specific to Africans. The word slave. I'm so adamant about that word. Just like my good brother, Brother Lerouneh, the author of Why We Should Not Call Our Ancestors Slaves, because it does not fit. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We never submitted. We fought. We resisted on the continent, in the Middle Passage, and here in this hemisphere, in Central and South America, as well as here. We have resisted. I just read a piece about captivity in Canada, because many of us don't believe, because, you know, we escaped. Some of us had to escape, not just cross the Mason-Dixon line. We had to escape further north, past New York, into Nova Scotia. There was a large African population what was that movie? Man, it was a made-for-TV movie, and it talked about that. But anyway, in fact, a brother named Willie O'Ree, he's the one that created hockey. That's right, hockey. A brother. Yeah, well, that's not surprising, is it? Because we create all kinds of stuff, but we can't claim it as our own. You know, we can say that we did it. You know, even at the times we were creating things in our captivity, we couldn't claim it. We couldn't patent it. You know, I used to show a documentary on inventions, Masters of Inventions. You know, they talked about Elijah McCoy and Granville Woods and, you know, many of the other people who had invented things and gotten patents. And, of course, Caucasians didn't think that we did anything to deserve a patent. I mean, just like to me, we always found a better way to do things, you know, because we were doing the work. That's why I don't believe Eli Whitney invented the cotton gin. I believe a brother invented the cotton gin. And then, of course, Eli Whitney, being who he was, could take advantage of it, just like the propeller on a steam engine. There's so many things that we could not. But then there came Granville Woods, and there came Lewis Latimer, and all these others. In fact, when you do turn on the light, damn Edison, think about Lewis Latimer. I have a light, and I kid you not, in my home that I have had on since I've lived here, 24/7. 365, now 40. That's a hell of a bulb, ain't it? I should turn it off and see who make that bulb. Cause, I mean, seriously, it's the only light that I have. Well, I have a light above the kitchen at night. But I'm just saying, when you talk about the long-lasting bulb, that carbon filament, that's Lewis Latimer. Lewis Latimer worked with others, and then he went to Europe, and particularly France. Helped them with lighting, street lighting, and so forth. You know? The things that Granville Woods did. In fact, he sued Edison successfully a couple of times. Because one thing that we should know, the European ain't nothing but thieves and appropriators. They have jealousy and envy and hatred. That's why I'm saying to us, there is nothing we can do, dear brothers and sisters, that can change any of that. But one thing that we can do about this is stop calling ourselves slaves. The European put that on us, and he loves to call us slaves. We went to Africa to get some slaves. No, you didn't. You went to Africa to get some human beings who had various skills. They were not slaves. They were artists. They were scholarly. You went to Africa to get workers. And they came here and they taught. And they showed ways of improvement. But of course, over time, the beatdown was so deep. And I ain't talking about the physical beatdown. That's deep, yes. But I'm talking about the mental beatdown. Because if I only allow you to do this, how are you going to be able to think outside that box? That's why I always say to us about Europeans have imposed upon us. They have us, they have boundaries on us. And we are not supposed to think outside those imposed boundaries. Because by thinking inside those boundaries, we continue to think of ourselves as less than. We continue to think of ourselves as enemies. The English language is our enemy. And even to that point, it made us think of ourselves as enemies.
Yeah, we're our own worst enemy.
Man, every time I hear somebody, and I had to apologize to the Baba, you know, but when he said that, it just struck a nerve and I went off on him, you know. I didn't, you know, go hard. It wasn't like we're about to get into a fight. I'm more respectful than that. But I'm just saying that to me, when I hear that, no, brother, we're not our own worst enemies. Because number one, we have to define what enemy is. What is an enemy? And if the Caucasian has not been an enemy, damn it, I don't know who in the hell is. But we're not. Yes, we have done some dastardly things, despicable things to one another, and continue to do that. And a lot of times we are directed, either consciously or subconsciously, because we have been trained to hate ourselves. No, we're not our own worst enemy. No, we're not an enemy. The European, the Caucasian, and all the other adjectives, particularly like what Jay liked to you, is our enemy. You know, one word I hadn't heard in a long time. Hunky. I don't know. I haven't heard somebody say to all a European a hunky in a long time. You know? Now, anyway. No, we're not. And we're not slaves. We were captives. Imagine, brothers and sisters, if we stop using that word slave. We made a declaration, we announced it, you know, we will never use the word slave again. We were not slaves, but we were captives. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. And we have over 400 revolts, recorded revolts of our people resisting. So no, we were not slaves. We were imprisoned. We were captured. We're the captured, and the European is the capturer. You know, put the onus back on him where it really belongs. Put it on him where it belongs. We were not slaves. We were captives. And if we are adamant and sincere about it, make sure that it is in our books. I don't give a damn about their book. I could care less about. See, that's why we need education that is geared and instructed by us. By us. But see, some of us, you know, and I read that in one of the Inye Say Sims. You know, even though we think of ourselves as African-centered, we find the best school, the best education is Caucasian. And we send our child there, even though our child, when he or she comes home, she's surrounded by African imagery, African iconography, books, pictures, artwork, figurines, and so forth. But then she goes to the school, and it's predominantly Caucasian. She might be maybe the only one in her class. But we feel that we have grounded him or her to such an extent that they can handle that. They can go because they know that their objective is to go to that school, get everything they have to offer, get that, and then come back, you know. But still, you know, we are bombarded 24/7, 365. With this imagery and this notion of our inferiority and their superiority. To be white. Whiteness. That's a recent thing. There's no such thing as race. There's no such thing as race. The European, Johann Blumenbach and Carol Linnaeus in the 1700s, they are the ones, the 1700s, not long ago at all. Not long ago at all. The mid 1700s, they came up with this idea of race. And the whole idea of whiteness was a division that was necessary to make themselves in a top position with us at a lower position. And because of that designation, we are the lowest on the damn planet. Everywhere there are deeply melanated people, we are despised. We are at the low economic rung. I'm telling you, words do have meaning. And in order to change that dynamic, we need to change our minds and the way that we use words. And when that word is spoken, it gives the proper image. So when I say you're a captive, it gives me a different perspective. It gives me somebody who has been locked. But when I say you a slave, I see a servant. I see us being benevolent and shucking and hustling. You know, I see that. But when I say captive, I know I'm imprisoned. I know I'm imprisoned. I know it's a lot different. We have a lot of work to do to change the minds of our people, to get them to understand the situation. It is not easy. It is not going to be easy. Because we have had hundreds of years of indoctrination. I mean, we're just starting to understand about Africa. And, you know, when they came up with these classifications and they try to figure out, well, who needs to be white and who needs to be brown, who needs to be yellow, and, of course, who needs to be black. And with this stratification, like I said, when I said earlier in the first hour of the program about the Dravidians, when the Aryans came down into India and developed a caste system. And of course, the lighter you were, the whiter you were, the more favored you are, the more you are endowed and so forth. And the darker you were the outcast, the untouchables, the Dravid, you know, you were the outcast. And that is the way it has happened across the damn world, even to this day. It has so deeply affected us that literally billions of dollars are spent on lightening our skin. Look at Sammy Sosa. Look at Sammy Sosa. They had a piece on Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire when they were hitting home runs back after baseball had a strike. And that really helped baseball in terms of the enthusiasm for the sport and people watching the sport, and baseball was all happy. And then, of course, they did that. But I bet you they already knew that these guys were taking performance enhancing drugs. But and then once it was known, now they're outcast. Now neither one of them can be in the Hall of Fame, just like Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens. And all of these cats, all those cats have numbers prior to probably even taking any steroids or performance-enhancing drugs because they were that good. But Sammy Sosa, he's from the Dominican Republic. There's a few places on earth that were being so colorism and color struck is so pervasive. The Dominican Republic is up there. I've been to the Dominican Republic. I will never go again. I've been to Brazil. I'll never go again. Especially with the president of Brazil, Bolsonaro, who is killing African people. They are killing African people in the Fafalas, the army. They're killing children. I did a piece on that a couple years ago, I think, when I first started here on Time for an Awakening. When they talked about, you know, a lot of countries have, like, soap operas, you know. And in these countries, the people who, and some of them can be seen globally, you know, because of the technology of today. And in these countries, these programs are have the themes of them, just like all the others, you know, and families and so forth, and their issues, they look Caucasian. But if they have somebody serving, if they have a bad character, once again, this English language or this world is the enemy of African people because of what Europeans were able to do of putting an image out around the world that if you are dark, you're less than. If you are dark, you should be despised. That wasn't the case thousands of years ago when the Greeks came to study at our feet. That wasn't the case even a thousand so years later in the western part of Europe when the Moors who settled in the Iberian Peninsula, which is now Spain and Portugal, was the information and light of Europe when they were nothing was going on for about 700 years in their medieval or dark age. And the only light in Europe was provided by those brothers and sisters. So we had them sit at our feet twice. Oh, how we forget. When you look at Greece and you look at its architecture, when you look at its laws, when you look at its theology, it is African. The foundation of all that of Rome is African. Now, you know, the thing with Rome going into Kemet, because Kemet was the breadbasket to help to feed the Roman army. I'm telling you, dear brothers and sisters, this thing has to end. We need to understand this information. We need to understand these words. We need to form a new lexicon, a new direction in terms of the words that we use. So when we, I don't give a damn about them, but when we say these words, these are the images that we conjure up. Because right now, just as I've done before, if you were honest, when I said those words, whose face did you put on those words? Exactly. So I'm saying to us, if we are going to get ourselves up out of this, we have to work at it. We have to be diligent and committed. Everything that we do is about liberating the minds of our people, decolonizing our mind, eradicating this ignorance from our minds. It is about the mind. It's on the continent. It's throughout the diaspora. It's the mind. And the fact that we have no friends. Dr. Clark said it best. We have no friends. You want a friend? Go look in the mirror. And don't leave that mirror till you like what you see. I ain't talking about you like your eyebrows arched or the cleft in your chin. Or your rosy damn cheeks, if you're high yellow. Because if you're really melanated, you ain't going to see no rosy cheeks. But you understand what I'm saying? Like who you see. Like each other. Like who you see culturally and historically. Like who you see. Love yourself and love each other. When you see yourself and you see the other brother and sister, that is you. From being light, bright, and damn near white to blue, black. I've been blessed, even though my complexion is what it is. My father, who I never knew, but a picture of him, he was American African, but damn, he looked Caucasian. He was an entertainer. He would come to Milwaukee, hook up with my mama. And of course, one of those hookups And so when, as I came through life, sometimes okay, sometimes not, being a high yellow curly head boy, you got to fight. That's why I boxed. That's why I had to box. I had to defend myself, you know? I had to defend myself. They jumped me a couple times, a paper route. They jumped me, man. You know, but they'd probably jump any damn body out of a paper route. You know, get that little change. Change wasn't nothing. But hey, back then in the 60s. But like I said, these words have meaning. Let us use the words that properly describe our condition. Use the word that properly will help us get up out of this. Say the words that we know. I mean, just like African. I don't use black because we are not black. Black is a color. Just like the Caucasians created white. Understand, he created white to make that separation. And I read to you, if you've been listening, what Ozzie Davis said, this language is my enemy, because in this language that they created, white has all of these proud, positive synonyms, where black does not, by intent. It is theirs, not ours. And don't you think that has an effect on our children? Don't you think that has an effect on us as a people? Let me say this. With all these things that are going on, virus included, many of our people are under an impression that things, once things settle down, will get better. The society would be more just, more equitable. There may be, now, my good brother Jay just mentioned the fact that how Caucasians are suffering around this country and probably a little around the world, because this pandemic is messing up world economies. But once again, the economy on the world is the international bankers, is the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank. And they control it. And what controls it? Their word. And what is their word? The ability to kill your ass. That's what their word is. You know? And America is the military arm of that word. America is the military arm of European, Caucasian supremacy. No, see, I don't even use that word. Supremacy. European, Caucasian extremism. Racism and privilege. I only use racism because they are the ones that created this concept and idea of race. Giving themselves the top position with everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position. They are the ones that did that. And it's a human construct, and they understood. Well, no, they probably didn't understand it then. They thought they had some good science, because they believed that Adam and Eve were Caucasian. The theology. That's why I'm saying Brothers' documentary, Holy Hierarchy, is on point. But a lot of us can get to it because why? It threatens Christianity. And because we have been force-fed Christianity and we believe it. I mean, just today, as I was thumbing through the Facebook, there were so many references to religiosity, it made me damn it sick. There were so many constant references. When you believe, Stevie Wonder, that great visionary, Stevie Wonder said, when you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer. We do not understand the depths of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege on our lives, on this world. The only thing to fight that is African people breaking away from it and coming into our right minds and beginning to control our land. We cannot do it here. I know some of us are tripping because they think there's some kind of
revolution that's going to happen here, some kind of positive change and so forth. No. Mark my damn word. No. The only solution for African people is repatriation. The only solution for African people is on the continent. The only solution for African people is get everybody else off of it. Get the Chinese out. Get them Arabs up in the north ass out if they don't want to go along with the humane treatment that we want to give African people. They still neutering our, cutting off the genitals of our men, castrating them, enslaving and raping our women to this damn day. So I'm saying, you know, I'm just a voice. I'm just throwing it out there. There are people who have more wherewithal, who have more knowledge and so forth, that can formulate this into a body that is going to say to the world, we are reclaiming, recapturing, restoring Africa for African people. We're asking Chinese, we're asking Indians, we're asking Koreans, we're asking Europeans, get y'all ass out because we're coming home. And we're working with brothers and sisters. And if those brothers and sisters who are on the continent are not conscious and aware of what we need to do as a people, they ask God to go. Because a lot of them were European trained. When Sister Susumi sent me that information about the Zimbabwe and the real reason why the problem with food, because that's the number one thing that we have to do. And Africa has the ability. The continent of Africa has the ability not just to feed Africans, they have the ability to feed the world. Man, oh man, I tell you. You know, we just don't understand how deep words are. We just think, you know, well, the European, you know, he's got this language and it's, you know, in fact, this is a deep one. In the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization, ASCAC, organization that I'm very fond of and been a member of for many years, organization started by the great scholars of Dr. John Henry Clark and Asa Hilliard and many others, and they finally put together a book called The Preliminary Challenge. They have a book that comes out, I think, annually called The Compass, and that's Brother Greg Kamathi Carr and Dr. Mario Beatty. They put that together. But The Compass was put together by those scholarly people. But there was a chapter in there, and here I go again with another chapter to remember, you know. But yeah, because it struck me, because the chapter's title is Can We Liberate Ourselves in Somebody Else's Language? Can we liberate ourselves in somebody else's language? Because the verbiage and all the other things, once, if you heard the program at the beginning, you heard it stated that a word, you can't speak or you can't visualize without the word. If I didn't know and never heard of like tools, I never heard of it. And you come talking to me about a hammer, a nail, a saw, a screwdriver, I have no idea. I can't visualize that. So can we truly liberate ourselves in the European, in the Caucasian's language, which benefits him? Because especially, I'll be damned if you can liberate yourself by you calling each other slaves. When I used to watch Roland Martin's fathead ass, he would sell our time, slaves, the slaves. And I told Greg when he was on the program, I told him, I said, man, you should check his ass. Check him. He keep calling our ancestors slaves. But he ain't the only one. Unfortunately, most of us do it because we've been so conditioned. We're not slaves. And so if I give you the image that we are not slaves, and I say that we were captives, we were imprisoned, that gives you a different visual. It puts a different connotation. And you see it differently. But when I say, you know, the word slave, and you continue to put our face on it, because other human beings had been in servitude in the history of humanity, in the history of the world. But only it's just like the European Jews. The European Jews, now, of course, they are European Jews because they're not. In fact, the letter J, you could do the research again. The letter J did not come into existence until the 1600s, the 17th century, the 1600s. So if the letter J didn't come into existence, then how do you get Judah, Jews, Jesus, and all these words that start with letter J? How do you get that? And then if that's not the case, what were those words, or what was it stated at that time? Think about it. Do some research. The Jews, the European Jews, Israel. They take Israel because they claim to be. They are not. They can't make no damn claim on some stuff that is not real, but they did it. And they did it because they Caucasian. And they can network with all the other Caucasians to make it happen. And that's what they did. The Zionists, the Balfour Declaration at the turn of the last century. I'm not saying for us to do anything. I'm saying for us just to come into reality of who we are. I ain't saying to fantasize about nothing. I ain't saying to make up something. No. It is there. We just that. All we have to do, dear brothers and sisters, is reclaim, recapture, and restore our minds, because it is there. And it is ours. Imagine. I know I don't have much time now, but imagine if we did that and the brothers and sisters on the continent did that, and we saw each other as brothers and sisters, and we're willing to come together to manage our land. It's not about being Nigerian. It's not about being Ghanaian. It's not about being Congolese. It's not about being none of those things. It's not about any damn tribes. It is about being African. Now, let me say this. If there are customs and traditions that you have as a people, maintain them. But understand, that's not what's utmost important. What's utmost important is that we are African people, and we come together to support and sustain African people. We make sure that African people are fed. We make sure that African people have land and have jobs and have resources. We make sure today, even to this day as I speak right now, Africa has more resources than any place on the damn planet, even though it has been plundered for hundreds of years. The African continent has been plundered, has been raped for hundreds of years. So, okay. Okay, dear brothers and sisters, you know, I hope that we got something out of that one, because I'm always trying to have a program that talks about words and images, because you're going to see them. Hopefully now that you be cognizant of them. Hopefully now that you put the right word on something, you know, to make sure that you put the right word. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a marvelous day. Be with us on Friday. My good brother, Baba Ranoka Rashidi, will be my guest, and we'll talk about a lot of good things. So, brothers, until then, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esaite Sana means thank you. Bivahorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we shall be victorious. Peace, family.